All right, you got a Connecticut woman arrested for an attack with brass knuckles.
Okay.
A guy gets sentenced to over 1,000 years in prison. What did he do?
Library card.
And Karen Reed, second full day of jury deliberations. Is this today?
Yeah.
Attorney Norm Pattis on the show. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. You hear about this brass knuckle attack?
No, but I'm guessing my phone might ring today. Where did it take place, and what is she accused of?
Chillingly, Connecticut. A woman was arrested for a home break-in and assault that happened in Chillingly on Sunday. State police said 27-year-old Gianna Garcia of Plainfield showed up to the victim's apartment on Church Street and assaulted her with brass knuckles. When troopers arrived, they said they spoke to the victim, who reported Garcia forced her way into the apartment. First, she pulls up and smashes into her car.
Okay. Oh.
Then breaks in and beats her with the knuckles, allegedly, according to police.
Right, baby.
Struck her in the head.
Achy, breaky heart.
It
Something
is
tells me there's a third member of that triangle thinking, I'm glad they went to
you
her house, not mine.
Absolutely right. There is a third member to this triangle.
Who's this guy?
Victim was later transported to a hospital for treatment. Troopers determined the suspect thought the victim had a relationship with her husband, and that was what prompted the assault.
The knuckling.
Well, you know, let me say, it's a good thing she had a brass knuckle and not a gun, because that guy that got the 1,000 years, apparently he got disrespected in a bar, came back with a gun and started shooting.
Oh.
And the judge wasn't amused by that, so I think gave him 40 years, one for each of the people, or 40 for each of the people who were in the bar. You know, it's funny, you know, you got to have a sense of humor if you're going to go to court as a criminal defense lawyer. So many years ago, a client of mine was you know, facing the death penalty in federal court. The feds couldn't get that, but they decided they wanted life without possibility of parole. It was a murder for hire case. Gangbangers shooting at one another. So as the verdict was returned and he was guilty, a judge imposed a sentence of life without possibility of parole. You know, people gasped in the courtroom because that's a heavy sentence. Second time, life without possibility of parole imposed consecutively. And when the judge did it the third time, the client and I looked at one another. I said, you know what this means? This is good news. And the client said, what are you talking about? I said, the first couple times you die, they got to revive you, or it's an illegal sentence. So the judge gets upset when she sees us giggling. And I said, Judge, what would you like us to do? You know, what do you think is appropriate under the circumstances? So, you know, sometimes the sentences are just ridiculously long. They don't make sense. I don't think they promote respect for the law. We have one life to live. This defendant must have been a real piece of work. So the judge let him have it. That's the judge's right. But 1,000 years, the judge made Guinness's Book of World Record, but it doesn't make him look like Solon. As to the woman with brass knuckles, you know, she's likely to face some time. The home invasion charge in Connecticut means that you enter a person's home with intent to commit a felony. In this case, the felony would be assault, assault in the second degree. And she probably going to face at an opening a mandatory minimum of 10 years in prison.
Wow.
Case will plea bargain down probably to about a month or 18 years and some program, or 18 months rather.
18 months? 18.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, I mean, that's sort of what the market bears for this kind of case. A lot will depend on the alleged victim's attitude, whether in fact she was involved with the husband. If it's a mistake, a case of mistaken identity, wrong mistress, you know, then it's really tragic as to the victim. If it's a case of somebody fishing in the wrong pond and getting caught, you know, the equities will not be quite as stark. So never a dull moment in the criminal courts. And in Karen Reed, you know, I don't know if today will be the day or not. Here's a prediction, though. She's likely to be convicted of the second count because of something called lesser included offenses. There are three charges, second degree murder. I think the case has been pretty well rebutted, or at least there's reason to doubt the state's theory. But in the second count, manslaughter while under the influence, there are what are known as lesser included offenses, meaning offenses other than the one charge, but that are necessary to commit on the way to committing the crime charge.
It's unbelievable that the government can do this.
Right. Mm.
Well, it's not just the government. Either party can request a lesser.
So what, she might be guilty of, like, drunk driving?
Yeah. If you look at the verdict form, it's extremely confusing. But I don't think anybody ever conceded that she'd been drinking and driving. I don't think anybody ever contested that, excuse me. And so I think there's a pretty good chance that the jury might compromise and ding her with that. But as to the homicide charges, you know, it's hard. It's hazardous to second guess a jury. And if the defense overtried its case and got cocky, the jurors could punish the defense. You know, as a trial lawyer, your job is to point in the direction you want the jury to go, but leave them the power to make the decision. A closing argument is really intended to empower the jury to make the argument that or to make the decision that the evidence supports.
Without going in
and you tell them what to do, yeah, you could have a problem. They could rebound on you and decide, nah, I don't like you, and therefore I don't like your client.
Without going into the details of the case, I mean, when the jury goes in there, they can think that maybe she did do it. But if the prosecution didn't convince them beyond a reasonable doubt with moral certainty, they have to vote not guilty.
No.
Correct.
That's the law, but yes. Oh, that's the law. But I think it's a law that's honored more in the breach than an application. There's a dead person, and the state has accused someone. When many people walk into a jury room, they look at the defendant and think, "Gee, I wonder what they did." During voir dire, I always challenge that perception and ask the jurors, "Is that what you thought when you came in?" And most people nod yes. And I said, "You understand that's the wrong perspective. The perspective you need to take here is not what this person did to be here, but what the state alleges, and can they prove the allegations they've raised? My client's not on trial here. The state is on trial. The state picked this fight. The state, the accusers sit at this table, and it's their burden and their burden alone to pick the fight to win the fight they picked. Can you follow the law? Because that is the law. And, you know, if you can persuade a jury to do that, and then you've got reasons to doubt the state's theory of the case, you've got some hope. And I think she's got hope as to the murder charge. There are abundant reasons. I think the defense was perhaps too aggressive, which, and I realized that coming from me, this will be surprising. And, you know, I wouldn't have told the jury, you have to buy our theory of the case or acquit, because they can conclude that it wasn't a police conspiracy and a police cover up and a police setup. You know, so you always want to give the jury room to make its own decision rather than tell them what you want them to do.
Yeah. Why. Last time, I think they pursued you don't have the proof that this person did it.
Right.
And they didn't go down here is another option that seems pretty strong with a motive and timeline. This time they did that. So when you go into the room, I think last time the jury went into the room, they're like, well, if she didn't do it, who did it?
Right.
She had to have done it.
They had what's called third-party culpability evidence last time. They did have other alternatives. This time, the court ruled that was inadmissible, and the defense strategy was to focus on inadequacies in the police investigation, leads they didn't follow up on. And so it could be a lot different. I mean, the jurors will go in the room, you know, after a couple months of sitting together and being told, you know, when they could, you know, what they could consider, what they can't, after having a jury instruction telling them what the law is, their first order of business will be to select a foreperson and then to decide what to do with all of the evidence they've been given. You know, they will be given possession of the various exhibits and the videos and whatnot that were shown. And then, you know, whether they make a straw vote or not, who knows? That's really up to the foreperson and the jury.
So they got it. They got the case Friday. They did their first full day yesterday. So I'm guessing Friday they're like, all right, where are we at? Take a vote, or let's just chat for a little while and let's all go home and just kind of think on it. Come back. Yesterday, they knew they weren't going to come out and with a verdict because it's just too fast. It looks like you didn't ponder.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Today would be a good day to come out, but I think they won't, because you know why? Because for a month they had to sit there and listen. And now they get a chance to talk.
Oh.
Finally, they can talk.
Right.
And I think that you're not going to give up the opportunity to sit there and talk about the case.
Right.
Right? They're not coming out today.
Possibly. To me, the reason, if they don't come out today, I'd be looking at the lesser included offenses. It would be astonishing if she were to be acquitted of all the charges in count two. You know, I think she might get dinged on the DUI, which would be a reason to celebrate with a drink, right? You know,
everybody,
a victory
in that house. Could be guilty of that. Everyone that was involved at that bar in that night could be guilty of that.
Right.
No, not necessarily. Not unless you were behind the wheel of a car driving. I mean, there's no law against getting hammered.
Well, that's
like
a good point. No, they can't get driving under the influence unless you're driving.
Right, unless you're in the house of the car.
But everybody that night was drunk.
Yeah.
That's really it's not a defense to driving while intoxicated.
Isn't this mind-blowing to you, though, the details of the case that, there's a dead cop on the lawn and it's not never declared a crime scene, never tape, never photos, no one knocks on the door, no one goes in the house, no one looks at the house. A cop who's drunk, ATF, goes to the Canton Police Department 1:30 in the morning in the middle of a snowstorm, puts his hoodie on, goes in the building. He knows where the first call is going to come in.
Right.
Then he switched bags from one car to another. Every single law enforcement person that was involved in the Canton Police Department seemed really aggressive on the stand. No one went to the guy's funeral. No one came to court. None of the cops. Usually you see this a sea of blue when a cop dies.
Yeah.
This is a real weird. Even the initial text from the Massachusetts State Police, this stinks.
It does, and
he texted that.
That may be reason to doubt the state's theory in and of itself.
Yeah,
and so do some of the comments that Ms. Reed raised and that were played to the jury. I mean, she was a nightmare defendant in some respects because she fell in love with the cameras and insisted on giving press conferences that that rebounded to her detriment at trial. Did I hit him? Comments of that sort, which were played to the jury and will create in the jury's mind the impression that, she's not entirely blameless. What's she doing behind the wheel while drinking? Now, it may be that everything you've just asserted actually occurred and that, the dog bit him up, chewed him up. He got beaten to death and left for dead by his brother officer.
Dog disappears. Floor gets ripped up. House gets sold.
Wow. He's moved out of state so that his DNA can't be tested. I mean, look, there's a lot that's wrong with this case, and it's probably enough to acquit her. But put yourself, you're generally pretty pro-law enforcement and generally pretty
100%.
Yes.
And so, that's going to be hard for some of those jurors to overcome in there, because the dark side of the world that this trial reflects is not a vision that many people are comfortable living in. If you have to believe, if you're forced to believe in a major decision in a public forum, that police officers can be this corrupt and that the state can be this much of a dupe so as to set up an innocent woman on charges that could result in her life imprisonment, that's going to challenge the foundation of the world that many of these people take for granted. And I'm not sure how far they're prepared to go.
I don't know if a normal brain can take the information that was given through this trial, go into a room and say 100%. I have no reasonable doubts.
Yeah.
She did this.
It's impossible.
I hear you, but after, I've argued cases to a jury for more than 30 years now. And every now and then I'm shocked and think, what were these people thinking?
Right.
I had two murder cases in the last couple months. In both cases, I was sure I won. In the first case, everybody in the room seemed to be sure I won, except the jury. They convicted. The last case, I was sure I won, and I did. Between the two cases? Juries, the evidence was slightly different in both cases, but you just never know. Funny story on this case, Chaz, let me divert for a moment, but it's the most unusual thing that's happened in my career. 9 years ago, I defend a kid up in New Britain accused of shooting to death a young man named Isaac Smith in a dispute over a pair of tennis shoes, of all things, and he gets acquitted. And then I get recalled not long ago to represent another guy in a New Britain murder case, and we're sitting there during jury selection. I said, by the way, why'd you decide to hire me? I was one of Isaac Smith's friends. So the guy, the dead guy in the first case, who after the acquittal, they hired me to defend the guy. And we got him acquitted as well. And so, jury trials are amazing. You just never know what to expect. And I think the thing that I didn't like in the Karen Reed's case is that people were so convinced during the case. If the jury sees that, they may just decide, we've got something to say about this. This is our case. You're on my turf now.
Yeah. Right.
I think she'll be acquitted. I think she should be acquitted for all the reasons that you've stated, at least of the homicide charges. But I do think that she's got a problem with the DUI. And, will the jury say, she's been through so much, poor kid, let her go? Not if they do their job.
Right. Well, it could be today.
Yeah.
We'll see if they show up to court in nice clothes.
Okay. That's an indicator
the
right
other,
there.
So the other thing to keep an eye on is what happens if they report that they can't agree. At that point, the court will ask each of them to resume their deliberations, and out of respect for one another, you usually have to get a couple reports of disagreement before the judge will say no mas. My hunch is the judge will make them sit pretty much throughout the week. If they can't get a verdict by the end of the week and they've reported deadlock a couple times, the judge will probably pull the plug.
I heard one of the commenters say that there's some Gen Zers on the jury and they can't see a Gen Zer sentencing a woman to life for something like this.
Okay.
Does that play into it when you're picking out a jury? Like you go for
yes and no. Yeah. I mean, we juries in Connecticut, and I believe it's the same in Massachusetts, are not told what the sentencing consequences are. All they decide is whether the state has proved their factual
guilty,
and sentencing is left for the court. And they're explicitly told you can't consider the consequences. I've always thought this was a silly thing to do to juries, to infantilize them, make it a huge decision, but not tell them the consequences. That's like sending me to the store with a checkbook and not telling me how much money is in there.
Right.
And I had a case years ago where a young kid was convicted. A jury called me in outrage after reading the sentence in the newspaper. The kid got 45 years for shooting somebody in the head. She said, "Why didn't you tell us? Why didn't you tell us this could happen?" I said, "Because the law wouldn't permit it." And so she understood that. And I said, "Well, let me ask you a question. Now knowing what the sentence is, what would you have done if you had that information?" She said, and she paused and said, "I guess I still would have convicted." So jurors don't get to make that choice. Everybody knows that murder carries consequences. So I argue the scholarship concept. I always say to jurors, I can't tell you what the consequences are. That's against the law. And you roll your eyes at the prosecution and the judge. But we're not here for a scholarship contest. And so your decision will change a life for better or ill. Be careful because you've
that's
got
a great way around that.
Your hands. Yeah. What will you do with it? Yeah.
All right, Norm. Thank you.
Oh, boy. It's time for Dumbass News.
99.1 PLR.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News. Dumbass.
Look, kids, it's AJ.
Hi, kids. No, it's AJ. 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 Go to school.
School's out for summer.
Comedian Emily Sierra in studio.
Good morning. Summer stuffing school. My face with a chocolate croissant right now.
Real professional.
Wow. Where's ours, damn it?
Really? All right, back to what we're doing.
Yes.
The massive meltdown over a turn signal. This, I don't know when it happened. I think it happened recently, but it populated on my social media yesterday, and I'm like, oh, the universe just gave me gold.
Look at that.
Apparently, this woman followed a cop and basically pulled him over.
Oh, wow.
And yelled at him because he didn't give someone a ticket for not using their turn signal.
Why the f*** doesn't he get a ticket?
I can help you talk to somebody.
He didn't use his turn signal!
Can I please call you an ambulance?
Wow. She may need a nap.
That's there to another dimension.
Someone's a little upset. Maybe give her a donut.
Yeah, right? Is your blood sugar low?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's the first thing he says. Can I get you an ambulance?
Yeah.
Something's wrong.
I need a cold compress.
Yeah. Wow. I've been mad. I've never been that mad. Especially over something so dumb.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
And the video, her whole face opens up like a
like a Pez dispenser.
Like a yawning chasm. Yeah, waiting for a brick to come out of candy.
Her whole face opens, but her neck is also stretched to its limit.
Yeah.
Like she looks like when E.T. flips out. Like,
those big old Elton John glasses she's wearing, but they're shattered. God damn.
Her forehead veins going out like a penis.
Oh, yeah.
And she looks like probably the most quiet person in the world.
Yeah.
When she's not shouting.
If you saw her in a library, you'd be like, this is your happy place.
Spot. Right. Nice and quiet. Okay, quiet.
Right, like she watches a lot of Downton Abbey. Like right. that's her show.
Right,
like
her house very quiet.
Yeah.
Chaz and AJ.
Yeah, I'm calling about that video clip you guys are talking about.
Yes.
So that, I saw that a couple months ago. There's a whole section prior to that where this lady melts. She has a major meltdown after being pulled over.
Wow.
And then they kind of let her go. And then she just freaked out because the cop didn't use his turn signal.
Okay. So she was pulled over. They let her go. And then the cop doesn't use his turn signal?
Initially, it was, yeah, it's, like I said, it's been a couple months. Initially, she was pulled over for something. And they were there for quite a while. You know, she's asking for the supervisor, this and that. But she was at the top of her lungs the entire video clip.
Wow.
It was crazy. And then they were driving to, maybe they're trying to have her follow them to the police station, something along those lines. But then she freaked out again over the turn signal. Nuts.
Wow.
Nuts.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's some scream, man. Should be the new Lisa in Linkin Park.
Yeah, was she in a screamo band?
Wow. How often does she come into work and she's like talking like this? Like,
right.
Oh, another night of screaming, huh?
Right. Tough night.
How'd you know?
Yeah, tough night, Eunice.
Wow.
Damn, man.
And this follows, you know, I have these meltdowns on the air about stuff.
Yeah.
And like in 3 minutes, I'm tired.
Yeah, yours are tame.
Yours are
tame. Put me to bed.
I'm relaxed for the rest of the day. Right. I'm like, okay, I got it up. She had that for a half an hour with a cop and then followed a cop and did that.
And didn't get a ticket and was like, no, I'm going to double down on this.
I had a taser.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
Taser.
Right.
Wow. And she's single.
No.
Who knows? What pissed her off the day before, too? Like, is this all bubbling?
We need the whole story.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
What led to this?
Right. Did Android designer a lot to
Was she the kid in the supermarket that was like having a tantrum, like flailing arms and legs on the floor because she couldn't get a, you know, a whoopie pie?
Right. Possibly.
Hmm.
Yep.
Or the library book she wanted was checked out.
Yep.
To be fair, whoopie pies are incredible.
They are unbelievable.
Yeah, after I said whoopie pie, I'm like, I could kind of see that.
I probably do, yeah.
Those are awesome.
Homemade.
Chaz and AJ.
She sounds like Carol Burnett and Vicki Lawrence on Mama's Family when they would argue about the games.
As we turn back the hands of time.
Here, let me blow off that reference, dust it off, and kind of look at it. Thank you.
I know
you.
Who Carol is.
Well.
It seems like they're muting something he's saying to her. I don't know if it's specific information.
Okay. So I have to follow every law, but that can leave the scene without a turn signal. Give him a ticket!
Do you need an ambulance?
He must have a turn signal! Give him a ticket!
Do you need to go to the...
Why the f*** do I get a ticket? Okay. And he can do whatever he wants!
Okay.
She said she got a ticket there.
Right.
So, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Noise ordinance.
Yeah. Here's another ticket.
Seriously. Yay.
Disturbing the peace.
There are birds exploding in the trees over here.
Wow. Imagine living next to her.
No.
Or dating her.
Yep. Oh, boy. She's a screamer.
Can I help you with anything else?
Give him a ticket!
Not a good way.
I love this cop.
Can I help you with anything?
She won't pivot. She's like, no, this is the point.
Right.
We're sticking to this point. You can ask whatever you want.
Wow.
Man.
I want to know what type of car she drives. Like, right. I want to see the whole thing.
Yeah, what does she do for a living? How long has she been there?
I want to see her BP.
I know exactly.
You know she's redlining right there.
You didn't use his turn signal!
Oh, yeah, she's borderline.
It sounds like a...
That's borderline stroke.
A metal singer.
Pop an ulcer.
And, of course, you know what the... What, Ruth?
Someone did make a metal song out of it.
They did?
I know, I have it coming up.
Oh, okay.
7 more seconds. We were going to get there.
Yeah, if you just let me go. Yeah, I was about to say, you know what the internet does when this happens?
He didn't use his turn signal! Turn signal! Turn signal!
Can I please call you an ambulance? I can help you talk to someone.
He didn't use his turn signal! Turn signal! Turn signal!
I go see them.
Yeah.
Dude, that was
great. Can I just call you the ambulance?
I picture her swinging off the light rafter.
Yeah. Right. Crowd surfing, no one catches her.
It's on the full screen.
Right, they all move out of the way. Sweat.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR. You're not going to believe what news anchor Kara Sunland, Channel 3, does in her spare time.
Knife throwing.
I don't know if she does. Knife throwing.
Knife throwing.
All right. Any other wheel? Guesses?
Ouch! Ice fishing.
Dennis has a cigarette in his mouth.
Trampoline! Trampoline!
No.
Speaking of, Dennis is chiming in, and he says the most useless 80s band is Culture Club. I don't know if I agree with that.
Oh,
I like a couple of their songs.
Yeah, I'll tumble for you.
That one, come on.
Yeah,
come
I like
come
I'm
on.
A Chameleon. Yeah. But anyway, so that's
okay.
His vote.
Well,
yeah. What do you think my weird hobby is?
Cliff diving. Yeah.
So I used to do that.
Wow.
I think that my frontal lobe got more developed as I got older, and so I don't do it as much anymore. But I do.
Yeah.
I do love adventure. Like my son now does that. But when I was younger, we would jump off the cliffs and dive off the cliffs all the time.
Wow.
In Newport. And now if I
how
did it,
high?
I'm pretty high, I guess. 20 feet at least. I don't know.
That's tall enough for me.
And okay.
But now I'll mostly, I do still go with him, but I'll just jump. I don't have the, when I was younger, I used to be a diver. Now I'm afraid.
You just jump.
Right.
Be first.
Now I'll just jump. Yes.
Yeah.
No, I do. I love roller coasters. I love all that kind of stuff.
Adventure seeker.
Yes.
Dennis, so 20 feet. I'll bet you it was more than 20 feet. Look out this window.
Okay.
Yeah. How, would you say you jumped this high?
That.
Okay, that's 30.
Yeah. Okay, all right. So, yeah, there's some cliffs in Newport. Yeah.
The thing with that, when you jump off of 30 feet, you can't take your breath of air when you jump off. You have to wait until right before you hit the water.
Oh, see, I can't do that.
So you still have your air when you come back up, you know?
Yeah, I'm not coordinated.
Gosh.
I'll die.
Are you a clipper?
I jumped off the top of Indian Wells and then the middle section of the Sandy Hook Bridge.
Wow.
Back in the day.
Recently.
Intentionally.
No, this is like late 70s. This is back when the cops would drive by and everyone's jumping off the bridge.
Yeah, nobody cared.
And they'd wave like, have fun, kids.
Right. Don't get killed.
Be safe.
Don't get killed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
be careful.
I have a lot of pictures of me doing this like in the 90s. I'm not sure. And now I would just jump, but I wouldn't
yeah.
dive.
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
I'd be afraid of whales like yawning at that moment landing.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, I'm not good.
Yeah, I'm not good with heights now.
Same. If I dove, it was accidental. Like I felt.
Right. Well, diving is very hard because, you know, if you don't plan it right, you go over and you land on your back.
Right. Or you find out how shallow it was.
Yeah.
When
I was younger, I really wanted to go skydiving, which I've still never done.
Yeah. Chaz did that. I will never do that ever.
Yeah.
I really wanted to, but yeah, as you guys know, my dad was a World War II bomber who was shot down as a pilot. So I thought he'd be all in favor because he had to parachute out. But he got, when I said I was going to go do that, he got very mad and he said, you'd never jump out of a perfectly good airplane.
See, that's
really great advice, by the way.
That's my sentiment. Jump out when it's crashing.
Why would we jump out when this one can land?
Exactly.
I had to jump out of a plane. Back in my day, we only jumped out of planes when they weren't flying right.
Exactly.
When you were in danger.
Right.
You paid money
never
for
going
it.
Down. Yeah.
So I've never done it yet. And now I'm a mom. And so I wouldn't be nervous.
She said yet.
But.
It's funny when you have children, you stop a lot of this crazy stuff because you're like, I want to be around.
What
now.
If? Right? That would be such a foolish way to leave someone without
unless
a mom.
Unless the kids are bad.
Right. Unless your kids are bad, then you want to jump off the building.
Right.
Yeah, your kids are great though, right?
Yeah.
You know, Helena just graduated.
I can't believe it.
Wow.
I saw that and I'm shocked because I remember the birth announcement.
Yeah. It's just wild. Well, we started Great Day Connecticut when I came back from maternity leave. So she's an adult. And my show is an adult.
Nice. Your show graduated. Nice.
Our show graduated. Yeah, we just had a grab. I brought you guys some little cookies here from. She's going off to the University of Maryland.
Let's congratulate her.
Oh, nice!
And a big M, which I thought was a W at first.
It's an M for the Terps.
Gotcha.
The Terps.
Right.
See? Yeah. Congratulations.
See, or it could be a 3.
Yeah. Now. Oh boy. You may start writing out the checks.
Seriously.
She got a scholarship?
They gave her a little bit, but we're going to, I mean.
Good luck.
I'm going to be in the camp that all the parents are in. I'm trying to figure it all out. Yeah.
Gotcha.
One of my favorite moments in life was when I wrote out that last check to the University of Hartford.
Yeah.
I'm free!
Did you write "Eat it, sucker" memo?
Yes.
It has gotten just so crazy expensive.
Oh, it is nuts.
Yeah, it's just, not at all what was when we were going.
Yeah. John in Naugatuck has a jump story. Hey, John.
Yeah, so Falls Village has one of the biggest falls called the Great Falls in Connecticut.
Okay.
Ken Falls is the longest, the tallest. But when I was a kid, I think it was about 100 feet. And that was crazy. I would never do it now. But that was like one of my biggest jumps I ever did.
100 feet.
Hell to no. And you can live probably jumping 100 feet?
Hell to no.
It was probably about 90 feet or 80 feet. Yeah, it's really bad.
Wait, we went from 100 to 90 to 80 in like 8 seconds.
Well, I do the same thing.
So if we keep going here, is it going to be 50?
Right, 6 feet.
Well, look it up. It's the Great Falls, and it's pretty crazy.
The Great
crazy.
Falls in Kent? Where?
And you did it.
Yeah, over in Falls Village, yeah.
Do you have spotters, like watching for boats and stuff?
You got to jump off and because it goes like an angle going down with the rock, so you have to hit it on like.
You have to go hard.
I'm good.
Yeah, because the cliff comes out.
Right, I'd be a stain. Yep. Done.
Like a Karis will get it up now.
Guys. It is right, the highest volume waterfall in the state, and the total height they say is about 50 feet.
Okay, 50.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So not far from what you did.
That's Great Falls and Falls Village.
Yeah.
Karis, pretty close. You almost did 50.
Yeah. You know what? If you go to Brownstone Quarry, then I feel like a little more safe because you know that I've done stories there. You can jump off. You pick the little cliff or the big cliff, but you know they promise you it's deep enough. The scary part is you don't know what's under there if you're going to some random place.
That's what happened to Indian Wells, because people drink beer there. The bottles break, they go down to the bottom of the well. So as soon as you hit that water, you got to put your arms and legs out.
Yeah.
Just to slow you down. Don't hit the bottom.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I tiptoe into my shower.
That's a good move, too, though.
You know what? Excellent move. We're talking about multiple things here.
Yep.
One, graduation. Two, jumping off of cliffs.
Yes.
Nothing to do with college bills.
The tuition, yeah.
Tuition. Right.
I should take up cliff jumping again. No, just kidding.
For money. Uh-huh.
It's a big milestone. It's been such a busy time. We decided, because I have a big birthday this summer.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm turning 30.
Nice.
Just kidding.
Next month.
30's a big one.
Just kidding.
Next month.
Yeah.
Next month, yeah. So we decided to go to Greece.
Nice.
And so it was Helena's graduation. I have a big birthday. I'll let you guys guess. And 50.
20.
Okay.
50.
Yeah. That's nothing.
Get out.
That's nothing. Wild was not.
Yeah.
No. Thank you.
It's wild how great you look at 50.
Right.
It's like really.
Yeah. I had a hard 50.
It's almost annoying, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean that in the best way possible.
Thank you. So we went to Greece to kind of celebrate everything. And it was amazing. Like, I've never seen water that blue. I've never seen. All I did is start Googling articles about what color paint do they use in Greece? All these beautiful blues. And I was like, I want to paint everything blue and white now. But the food was amazing. So it was a great family trip. But people are talking about,
guys walking around in Speedos and stuff?
Not really.
Thank God.
But I did see some square pants, but I think that's just Europeans. Yeah. There were also, I think, a lot. Yeah.
It's a pretty cool fashion. How's the food? Great.
The food is amazing.
Oh, Greek food's
Dennis probably ordered a Greek salad every single meal. Like, every time we sat down, I was like, oh, a Greek salad.
But do you call it a Greek salad?
They do.
Really?
The home salad.
But there's no lettuce. It's just the cucumbers, tomatoes, and feta, and then the olive oil.
That sounds
sometimes
great.
Anchovies, too. Mm.
And octopus is big. I had a lot of octopus.
Great. Grilled octopus is awesome.
Really good. Yeah, he wasn't into that. But my son and I ate a lot of octopus. But we went to Mykonos and Santorini.
Mykonos is nice, yeah.
And just touring the Acropolis in Athens, I mean, just to think it was 1,500 years before Christ.
Yeah.
Walking around.
So wild.
It was just wild. I'm like, wow. just yeah. So anyway, that was amazing. But people are calling this time, and I think a lot of people who have kids graduating right now, if you haven't heard of it, someone just told me this, and it's true. They call it May-cember because there's a million things, you know, between graduation, and then we did college orientation, and then we did a going away trip.
Oh, from so May to September.
Like, it feels like December. Like, it's busy. They call it May-cember because it's just December. You have all these things.
Minus the shopping, yeah.
So now we can just chill out a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, now we got to go to... I used to go to Bed Bath & Beyond. Now, apparently, everyone just orders on Amazon and coordinate with your roommate, you know?
Oh, see?
Yeah.
That works.
We got another jump story here. It's Frank, didn't we just talk to you?
No, that was another Naugatuck guy.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Just checking.
You have a jump story?
Keep it real.
Yeah, I'm driving down 84 here, and I heard you mention something about a Southbury Sandy Hook Bridge.
Yes.
I remember when I was a teenager, we're crazy kids. We jumped off, that same bridge. It wasn't the 84 bridge, but it was a side road.
Yeah, it is a side road. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, and you'd have to run from one end of the bridge to the other to make sure there weren't any boats coming.
Gotcha.
Right. No, you'd have a spotter.
That'd be helpful.
But yeah, no, there was a story, and I don't know if it's urban legend, but somebody jumped off the bridge and landed in a boat.
Oh, they survived?
Okay, and they were okay?
No.
No, it was a good.
No, because we had a spotter, so we had someone on the other side of the bridge looking, saying, okay, clear, right. And then you jump.
Right.
Because it took so long from the time you jumped to the time you hit the water.
Yeah.
That's how high it was.
Damn.
There was three levels. There was road level, there was a middle level, then there was a top level of the bridge.
Flipping your arms.
Yeah. And my brother said, don't take your air until you're about to hit the water, because you won't be able to hold it from the top of the bridge down into the water, then back up.
That's sound advice.
That's a long jump.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I'll tell you what. I jumped, we're a bunch of friends, and we're just crazy, like I said. And we jumped, and I'll tell you what, I didn't think that I was going to be able to foster children. When I hit that river, I was wearing jeans, and it hurt so bad I let air out as I'm on my way going down.
Oh, now, your phone is horrible, Frank. I wish it wasn't, because you have a great story.
Where'd the air come out of?
This is the kind of stuff we're going to hear on Great Day later. Someone who hit the water so hard, they didn't think they'd be able to give birth to children.
Right. They had a boy named Aqua. Aquaman. Nice.
Kara used to do cliff diving and cliff jumping.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
No. Yeah, now I'll just... I have jumped recently. Just I don't think I can dive anymore. I don't know what happened. But
how recent?
I just jumped last summer in Newport.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, that's but off recent. A little one. It wasn't that big. Yeah, yeah. With my son, he went off the bigger one, and I ended up finding my way to a little lower spot.
Oh, that's
yeah.
all right.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then when we did an out west trip, we went to some place you pull off the side of the road in Colorado, and we jumped there. Yeah.
It's, all right. That's scary.
Into cold water. Lots of people did it before me. So then I thought it was okay.
Okay. Right. Had them test it out first.
That's the way to do it. Right, let's see how many of you strangers live.
All right. People first.
Still walking. We're good. I'm going for it.
Yeah.
I love. Do you guys like roller coasters? It's kind of like now that's a. No.
I hate roller coasters.
Oh, okay.
I used to.
I speed.
I've become a real wimp. You know?
Your frontal lobe developed.
I'm a wimp. I jumped out of an airplane probably 12, 13 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I'm deathly afraid of heights.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I'll, you know, do what I fear most and I'll control fear. No, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Exposure therapy.
I still won't jump out of a plane. I'm not doing it again.
Yeah.
Again.
No,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But it was a good time.
Never. Nope. Uh-uh. Again, the only time I'm jumping out is if the plane's going down. Even then, I'm waiting until it's 5 feet above the ground. I'm going to tuck and roll.
Tuck and roll.
I'm going to tuck and roll.
John in Stratford has a jump story. Hey, John.
One of the highest. How you doing? This is John. It's not one of the highest jumps that you guys are talking about, but I tell you what, it was one of the most pressured jumps I've ever done. And that was Action Park. I had a line of people.
Okay, hold on. Does anyone hold on 1 second? Does anyone remember Action Park?
Oh, no.
AJ does.
Yeah.
I do.
So commercial,
but
time.
I think you have to be around our age to remember. Kara, you don't.
I don't.
You're
know.
Rhode Island, right? Originally.
Well, I grew up in Michigan, and then I moved out here. I've been out in Connecticut for 25 years. My dad's from Rhode Island, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Action Park was a park in New Jersey. There's a documentary on it. It was so dangerous and so bad. people got injured and killed at this park.
Oh,
this
Class Action Park is the documentary. It's a great name.
You have to see it.
I used to go to Cedar Point growing up, so the Demon Drop and all that. Yeah.
It was all this without safety, without, you know, it was all bad.
Off you go, kids.
The guinea pigs were the people coming in.
Yep. That's right.
Wow.
That's right. All right, I just wanted to set it up. Go ahead, John.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what. The worst part of it was the pressure. I'm 14 years old. There's beautiful women with bikinis on everywhere.
Okay.
And there's a line, and there's people basically pushing you off the cliff to get into that water. So once you got to that point, forget about it.
You weren't going back. Yeah.
Oh, my God, buddy. Yeah, that was one of my that was the biggest jump of my life.
It's a big one.
Hope you impress somebody.
Yeah,
my damn suit fell off.
Yeah. Kara Sundlund's going to be going in a few minutes. She has to tuck and roll out of here.
Yep.
I'm going to jump right
out the window.
Yeah, right out the window.
Yep. See?
There's going to be a WFSB van pulling by. Yep. She's going to jump on the roof.
The training comes in handy.
I have to get ready for Great Day Connecticut so you can all watch. I'll get pictures of us in there.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
What time?
3 o'clock.
What time do you tape?
10.
10.
Gotcha.
And then
10,
what are you talking about today? Do you know yet?
I'll find out on the way from here. I'd be prepping right now, but because they let me come be with you guys, I'll figure out. Yeah. We'll be talking about, you know, we have our little chat block, me and Scott, of all little things that are happening now. And then we'll have some great stories. Yeah.
So what's happening now? What do you think?
We'll probably talk about this and the most useless 80s band, but I'm not sure.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
You could use a different word. It doesn't have to be useless.
Right.
Irrelevant.
Right.
No. Something nicer.
Yes.
Most forgotten would be the polite way, maybe.
Easy to forget.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll do some trending now. We'll do, let's see, it's Tuesday.
Have you talked about the Karen Reed trial at all?
Not really, but
tell by your face. Not really.
I mean, we reported it on the news a lot, but it's usually not a great day topic. Yeah.
Right.
We just every
That's
day.
That's more light.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Great day. We try to make you have a great day. We want you to be happy.
Right.
You know, that makes sense. It's called great day. Right. Why would we tell you about murder trials?
Exactly. Yeah. That'd be sucky day.
We'll do recipe of the week and, you know, turn on a blender that I can't make work. So you have
That's
to
great.
Laugh.
Remember when
there was a montage.
That was great.
Remember when I co-hosted and I almost burnt your eyelashes off?
Oh my God! No. I think we had rules after you came about no fire.
The Chaz rule.
Yeah.
They're like, no more fire.
Right.
So I had it was a cooking segment, and I had this magic paper, you know, the flash paper. You light it, it goes woof.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, all right, we'll have a little flash on the show, and it'll be kind of cool. And I do that, and just as I light it, Kara puts her face over the pot, like, what did you just do in there? And it goes woof.
Yeah, like, thanks for warning me.
Yeah. And her eyes are like, I can't see anything right now.
I remember going, you smell like barbecue dog hair.
I distinctly remember the next day on the air, we were talking to the guy that gave you the flash paper, and you were like, how many did you use? And you were like, I think I put like two or three. He was like, no, I said to tear it into pieces, and do two or three pieces.
It was quite the flash.
Like, oh, two or three pieces.
Quite my bad.
Yeah. The new rules, we're not allowed back there.
Yeah, no, you do a great job on that show.
Thank you.
It's really great.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice with everything going on, and I truly do love doing news and breaking news also. But Great Day Connecticut, I mean, we really are. I appreciate it, I think, because I didn't grow up here. I consider it my home state now after 25 years.
Same.
Celebrating 25 years at Channel 3. I can't believe it.
Wow. Congratulations. That's a big year for you.
25 years. Yeah, big years. Yeah. My daughter's graduating, and I'm marking a quarter century at Channel 3.
Yeah. And a big birthday.
And a big birthday. Yes. But we have such a great state. And so I people say, don't you run out of things to talk about? Scott and I learn on that show every day. Every day there's some new restaurant or new thing or new, and even as long as I've been here, and I've probably been to every town in the state, we really every day are learning with the viewers. And it's stuff that's we are so lucky to live here. We have to remember that.
And, you know, being in the news business and having an opportunity to do an hour on just good stuff has to be
a
pretty
treat.
Cool.
Yeah,
a real treat.
A treat. Yeah.
Treat. Absolutely. We can do interviews that are interesting. And then, of course, at 4 o'clock, we'll bring you everything you need to know.
Yeah, top stories. Right. You know, that's the thing that you could do really well. Like, you could do Great Day and do these interviews, you know, puppies and kittens. But then 4 o'clock, you can handle a major breaking news story and do an interview that's like, wow, that was a network level interview.
Yeah. Aw, thank you.
They're two different skills. Yeah.
The other thing you could do real well, and, you know, this it's something natural that you have.
Cliff diving?
That But when someone's filling in on like Great Day, you're just this, okay, now we're going to walk over here. Now we're going to do this. Now you're going to go over here. You're going to read that. And it makes it so easy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, thank you. Right. No, I love it when you guys come. And I always know that you're racing from here. So I do try to make sure everyone knows where they're going.
I kept getting
that's
get back
the mom
here.
And me. Come right. Stand here.
Yeah, it's like it's like a mom. It's like, all right, we're going to stand over here, look over here, read that.
I was told don't touch anything.
That's
stop
great advice.
That.
I was looking up stuff that's going viral. The cucumber egg hack is one that I've been seeing.
Cucumber
I don't know if you've covered that yet.
Hack.
The cucumber egg hack.
This girl on TikTok says that her grandmother told her to rub cucumber on the pan before you cook an egg.
Oh.
And it supposedly makes it easier, but there's mixed results for people who have been testing it for themselves.
What if it happened with just Pam or butter.
Right.
Butter.
No, that's my son right now. Every morning he eats like 6 eggs, and then he's been asking if he can have steak with it. I'm like, you're getting expensive.
Yeah.
But he's 15-year-old boy. He's like, I want to be jacked.
Yeah.
I'm going to send him to
protein.
You, AJ.
When you get a job, then you be jacked. Until then, you need to play.
Rice and beans. That's protein also.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love
absolutely.
Rice.
That's what you want first thing in the morning with your eggs.
Rice and beans is awesome.
Thank you so much for driving all the way in.
Yes,
thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Back. You're always
and AJ,
welcome.
AJ, I'm so glad that you're doing well, and we'll have to come back. You promised me we would do the story when you beat it, and you've almost beat it, or you are beating it. So we got to get you back on. You look amazing.
Thank
I hope
so
everyone
much.
Go on your Facebook and see how great you look.
Thank you so much,
Kara Sunland, Channel 3. Tell Dennis we said hello.
Please. I will.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.